You Forever by Tuesday Love sang Grandpa, read to you by Blue Friend, September 2016. Lesson 19. We have from time to time mentioned the Akashic Record. Now, let us discuss this most fascinating subject, for the Akashic Record is something which concerns every person and every creature who has ever lived. With the Akashic Record, we can travel back along history. We can see all that has happened, not merely upon this world, but upon other worlds as well. For the scientists is now coming to realize what occultists have always known, that other worlds are occupied by other persons, not necessarily human, but sentient beings nonetheless. Before we can say much about the Akashic Record, we have to know something about the nature of energy or matter. Matter, we are told, is indestructible. It goes on forever. Waves, electric waves, are indestructible. Scientists have recently found that if a current is induced in a coil of copper wire, the temperature of which is reduced to as near absolute zero as possible, the induced current carries on and on and on and never grows less. We all know that at normal temperatures, the current would soon diminish and die out because of various resistances. So, science has found a new medium. Science has found that if a copper conductor be reduced sufficiently in temperature, a current continues to flow and remain the same without any outside source of energy. In time, scientists will discover that man has other senses, other abilities, but that will not be discovered yet, for the scientists proceed slowly and not always surely. We have said that waves are indestructible. Let us look at the behavior of light waves. Light reaches us from far, far distant planets in universes remote from our own. Great telescopes on this Earth are probing out into space. In other words, they are gathering light from vastly distant places. Some of the planets from which we receive light sent out that light long before this world, or even this universe, came into existence. Light is a very fast thing indeed. The speed of light is so fast that we can hardly imagine it. But that's because we are in human bodies and are greatly bogged down with all sorts of physical limitations. What we consider to be fast here has a different meaning in a different plane of existence. By way of illustration, let us say that a round of existence for a human is 72,000 years. During that round, a person comes again and again to different worlds, to different bodies. The 72,000 years, then, is the length of our school term. When we refer to light instead of radio or electric waves or other waves, we do so merely because light can be observed without any equipment. A radio wave cannot. We can see the light of the sun, the light of the moon, and if we have a good telescope or a powerful pair of binoculars, we can see the light of the far distant stars, which started out before Earth was even a cloud of hydrogen molecules floating in space. Light is also used as a measure of time or distance. Astronomers refer to light years. And we're going to tell you again that light coming from a far distant world may still be traveling after that world has ceased to exist, from which it is clear that we may be getting a picture from something which is no longer there, something which died years ago. If you find that difficult to understand, look at it this way. We have a star out in the remote vastness of space. For years, for centuries, that star's been reflecting light waves down to Earth. The light waves may take 1,000, 10,000, or 1,000,000 years to reach Earth, because the star, the source of the light, is so very distant. One day, the star is in collision with another star. There may be a great flash of light, or there may be extinction. For our purpose, let us say that there is total extinction, so the light is gone. But for 1,000, or 10,000, or 1,000,000 years after the light is gone, light still reaches us, because it takes all that time to cover the distance between the original source of light and ourselves. Thus, we should be seeing light after its source ceases to exist. Let us assume something which is utterly impossible while we are in the physical body, but which is quite easy and commonplace when out of the body. Let us assume that we can travel faster than thought. We need to travel faster than thought because thought has a very definite speed, as any doctor can tell you. It is actually known how quickly a person reacts to any given situation, how quickly or how slowly a person can put the brakes on of his car or move the wheel to swerve aside. It is known how quickly thought impulses travel from head to toe. We, for the purpose of this discussion, want to travel instantly. Let us imagine that we can go instantly to a planet which is receiving light which was emitted from the Earth 3,000 years ago. So, we, upon this distant planet, will be receiving light sent from the Earth 3,000 years ago. Suppose we have a telescope of quite unimagined type, with which we can see the surface of the Earth, or interpret the rays of light reaching us. Then, this light sent out 3,000 years ago would show us scenes of the world enacted at that time. We should see life as it was in ancient Egypt. We would see the barbarous Western world where people ran about covered in woad or less. And in China, we should find quite a high civilization, so much different from what is there at the present time. If we could instantly travel closer, we should see quite different pictures. Let us move to a planet which is so distant from the Earth that light takes 1,000 years for it to travel between that planet and Earth. Then we should see scenes of Earth as they were enacted 1,000 years ago. We should see a high civilization in India. We should see the spread of Christianity through the Western world, and perhaps some of the invasions of South America. The world would also look somewhat different from its present appearance, because all the time a coastline is altering, land is rising from the sea, shores are being eroded. In a lifetime, not much difference is noted. But 1,000 years would give us a chance to see and appreciate the difference. At present, we are upon a world which has most remarkable limitations. We are able to perceive and to receive impressions on only a very limited range of frequencies. If we could see some of our out-of-the-body abilities to the full, as we can in the astral world, we should see things in a very different light. We should perceive that all matter is indeed indestructible. Every experience that ever has been on the world is still radiating outward in the form of waves. With special abilities, we should intercept those waves in much the same way as we can intercept waves of light. Take as a simple example of this an ordinary slide projector. You switch on your slide projector in a darkened room, and you put a slide in the appropriate place. If you put a screen, a white screen for preference, in front of the lens of the projector at a certain distance from it, and you focus the light on the screen, you see a picture. But if you have your projector projecting its picture out of the window and into the darkness beyond, you see just a faint beam of light with no picture. It follows that the light must be intercepted, must be reflecting on something, before it can be fully perceived and appreciated. Take a searchlight on a clear and cloudless night. You might see a faint tracery of light, but only when the searchlight impinges on a cloud or upon an airplane do you actually see it as it is. It has long been the dream of man to have a thing called time travel. This, obviously, is a fantastic conception while one is in the flesh and upon the earth, because here in the flesh we are sadly limited. Our bodies are most imperfect instruments, and as we are here to learn, we have implanted in us much doubt, much indecision, and before we can be convinced, we want proof. The ability to pull a thing to pieces to see how it works and to make sure it does not work again. When we get beyond the earth and into the astral, or even beyond the astral, time travel is as simple as upon earth is a visit to a cinema or a theater. The Akashic Record, then, is a form of vibration, not necessarily light vibrations, because it also embraces sound. It is a form of vibration which, upon earth, has no term which can describe it. The nearest one can do is to liken it to a radio wave. We have about us at all times radio waves coming in from all parts of the world. Every one of them brings in a different program, different languages, different music, different times. It is possible that waves are coming in from one part of the world which contains a program which to us is being broadcast tomorrow. All these waves are coming to us constantly, but we're oblivious to them. And not until we have some mechanical device, which we call a radio set, can we receive those waves and slow them down so that they become audible and comprehensible to us. Here, with a mechanical or electrical device, we slow down radio frequency waves and convert them to audio frequency waves. In much the same way, if on earth we could slow down the wave of the Akashic Record, we should undoubtedly be able to put authentic historical scenes on the television screen, and then the historians would throw a fit when they saw that history, as printed in books, is completely, completely wrong. The Akashic Record is the indestructible vibrations consisting of the sum total of human knowledge, which emanates from the world in much the same way as the radio program is broadcast. It goes on and on. Everything that has happened on this earth still exists in vibration form. When we get out of the body, we do not use a special device to understand these waves. We use nothing to slow them down. Instead, in getting out of the body, our own wave receptors are speeded up so that, with practice, with training, we can receive that which we term the Akashic Record. Let us get back to this problem of outstripping light. It will be easier if we forget about light for the moment and deal instead with sound, because sound is slower and we do not have to have such vast distances before getting results. Supposing you are standing out in the open and you suddenly hear a very fast moving jet plane. You hear the sound, but it's useless to look up to the point from whence the sound appears to be coming from, because the jet plane is going faster than the sound, and so will be ahead of the sound itself. In World War II, great rockets were sent from enslaved Europe to cause destruction in England. The rockets crashed down on houses, wrecking them and killing people. The first warning that people had that these rockets were coming was the noise of the explosion and the crashing of falling stones and the screams of the injured. Later, when the dust was subsiding somewhat, came the sound of the rocket arriving. This quite weird experience was caused by the fact that the rocket traveled so very much faster than the sound it made. Hence it was that the rocket did all its destruction before its sound arrived. One can stand on a hilltop and look at a gun placed perhaps upon another hilltop. One cannot hear the shell from the gun when it is exactly over one, but the sound comes shortly after when the shell is still speeding off into the distance. No person has ever been killed by a shell which he heard, for the shell arrives first and the sound later. That is why it is so amusing when people in wars used to duck at the sound of a shell passing overhead. Actually, if they could hear the sound, it meant that the shell had passed by. Sound is slow compared to sight or light. Standing again upon this hilltop, we can look at a gun being fired. We can see the flash from the muzzle, and much later, the time, depending upon the distance we are from the gun, we hear the sound of the shell passing overhead. You might have watched a man chopping a tree. The man would be some distance away. You would actually see the axe hitting the tree trunk, and then, a short time after, you would hear the thunk-thunk of the sound. This is an experience which most of us have had. The Akashic Record contains the knowledge of everything that has happened on this world. Worlds elsewhere have their own Akashic records in much the same way as countries outside ours have their own radio programs. Those who know how can tune into the Akashic record of any world, not merely of one's own, and one can then see events of history. One can see how the history books have been falsified. But there is more to the Akashic record than just satisfying idle curiosity. One can look into this record and see what went wrong with one's own plans. When we die to the earth, we go to another plane of existence where every single one of us has to face up to what we did or what we did not do. We see the whole of our past life with the speed of thought. We see it through the Akashic record. See it not just from the time that we were born, but from the time we planned how and where we would be born. Then, having that knowledge, having seen our errors, we plan again and try once more, just like a child at school, seeing what went wrong with answers to the examination and taking the examination all over again. Naturally enough, it takes a long, long training before one can see the Akashic record, but with training, with practice and faith, it can be done, and it is indeed being done constantly. Do you think, maybe, that we should pause a moment now and discuss this thing called faith? Faith is a definite thing which can and must be cultivated in much the same way as a habit or a hothouse plant must be cultivated. Faith is not as hardy as a weed. It is indeed more like a hothouse plant. It must be pampered, must be fed, must be looked after. To obtain faith, we must repeat and repeat and repeat our affirmation of faith so that the knowledge of it is driven into our subconscious. This subconscious is 9/10 of us, that is, by far the greater part of us. We often liken it unto a lazy old man who just does not want to be disturbed. The old man is reading his newspapers. Perhaps he has his pipe in his mouth and his feet are encased in comfortable slippers. He's really tired of all the racket, all the noise, all the distraction constantly going on around him. Through years of experience, he's learned to shield himself from all except the most insistent interruptions and distractions. Like an old man who is partly deaf, he doesn't hear when he is called the first time. The second time he's called, he doesn't hear because he doesn't want to hear, because he thinks it might be work for him or some interruption of his lazy leisure. The third time starts to get irritable because the caller is disturbing his trend of thought while he is perhaps more anxious to read the racing results than to do anything which requires effort. Keep on and on repeating your faith, and then the old man will come to life with a jerk, and when the knowledge is implanted in your subconscious, then you will have automatic faith. We must make it clear here that faith is not belief. You can say, I believe that tomorrow is Monday, and that means a certain thing. You would not say, I have faith that tomorrow is Monday, because that would mean a completely different thing. Faith is something which usually grows up with us. we become a Christian or a Buddhist or a Jew because usually our parents were Christians, Buddhists, or Jews. We have faith in our parents. We believe that what our parents believed was correct, and so our faith becomes the same as our parents. Certain things which cannot definitely be proved while upon the earth require faith. Other things which can be proved can be believed or disbelieved. There is a distinction, and one should become aware of that distinction. But first of all, what do you want to believe? What is it that requires your faith? Decide what it is that needs faith. Think of it from all angles. Is it faith in a religion? Faith in an ability? Think of it from as many angles as you can, and then, making sure that you think of it in a positive way, affirm, state to yourself that you can do this or that, or that you will do this or that, or that you firmly believe in this or that. You must keep on affirming it. Unless you do so affirm, you will never have faith. Great religions have faithful followers. Those faithful followers are ones who've been to church or chapel or synagogue or temple, and by repeated prayers, not merely on their own behalf, but by others also. Their subconscious has become aware that there are some things which must be a faith. In the Far East, there are such things as mantras. A person will say a certain thing, a mantra, and say it again and again and repeat it time after time. Possibly the person will not even know what the mantra is about. That does not matter, because the founders of the religion who composed the mantra will have arranged it in such a way that the vibrations engendered in repeating the mantra knock into the subconscious the thing desired. Soon, even though the person does not fully understand the mantra, it becomes part of the person's subconscious, and the faith then is purely automatic. In much the same way, if you repeat prayers time after time, you begin to believe them. It's all a matter of getting your subconscious to understand and to cooperate. And once you have faith, then you don't have to bother anymore, because your subconscious will always remind you that you have this faith and that you can do those certain things. Repeat to yourself time after time that you are going to see an aura, that you are going to be telepathic, that you are going to do this or that, whatever it is that you particularly want to do. Then in time you will do this. All successful men, all those who become millionaires or inventors, are people who have faith in themselves. They have faith that they can do what they set out to do, because believing in themselves first, believing in their own powers and abilities, they then generated the faith which made that belief come true. If you keep on telling yourself that you're going to succeed, you will succeed. But you will only succeed if you keep on with your affirmation of success and not let doubt, the negative of faith, intrude. Try this affirmation of success, and the results will truly astonish you. You may have heard of people who can tell another person what they were in a past life, what they were doing. That comes from the Akashic Record. for many people in their sleep travel in the astral and see the Akashic record. When they return in the morning, as we've already discussed, they may bring back a distorted memory. So, while some of the things they say are true, others are distortions. You will find that most of the things you hear about relate to suffering. People seem to have been torturers, seem to have been all sorts of things, mainly bad. That is because we come to this earth as to a school. We have to remember at all times that people have to have hardship to purge them of their faults, in much the same way that ore is placed in a furnace and subjected to intense heat, so that the dross, or wastage, rises to the surface where it can be skimmed off and discarded. Humans have to undergo stresses which drive them almost, but not quite, to the breaking point so that their spirituality may be tested, that their faults may be eradicated. People come to this earth to learn things, and people learn much more quickly and more permanently by hardship rather than by kindness. This is a world of hardship. It's a training school, which is almost a reformatory, and although there are rare kindnesses which shine out like a beam of a beacon light on a dark night, much of the world is in strife. Look at the history of nations, if you dispute this. Look at all the incipient wars. It is indeed a world of impurity, and it makes it difficult for higher entities to come here, as they must in order to supervise what is going on. It is a fact that a higher entity coming to this earth must take up some impurity, which will act almost as an anchor and keep them in contact with the earth. The high entity who comes here cannot come in his own pure, unsullied form, because he could not stand the sorrows and the trials of this earth. So, be careful when you think that such and such a person cannot be so high as some people say, because he's too fond of this or too fond of that. As long as he does not drink, then he might be quite high. Drink, though, cancels out all high abilities. Many of the greatest clairvoyants and telepaths have some physical affliction because suffering can often increase the rate of vibration and confer telepathy or clairvoyance upon the sufferer. You cannot know of a person's spirituality by just looking at him. Do not judge a person to be an evil person because he's sick. The sickness may have been taken on deliberately in order that the person can increase his or her rate of vibration for a special task. Do not judge a person harshly because he or she uses a swear word or does not altogether act as you think that a great person should act. It may indeed be a great person who is using swear words or some other vice in order to have an anchor to enable him or her to remain upon the earth. Again, provided that the person does not engage in drink, the person may quite definitely be the higher entity which you originally thought him to be. There's much impurity on earth, and all that is impure decays. Only the pure and the incorruptible lives on. That is one of the reasons why we come to earth. In the spirit world, beyond the astral, you cannot have corruption. You cannot have evil on the higher planes. So people come to Earth to learn the hard way. And again, a great entity coming to Earth will take a vice or an affliction, knowing that as he or she came for a special task, that affliction or vice will not be held as karma, which we will deal with later, but instead be regarded as a tool, as an anchor, which passes away as corruption along with the physical body. There's a further point which we're going to make, and it's this. Great reformers in this life are sometimes those who, in a previous life, were great offenders in the line which he or she now reforms. Hitler, undoubtedly, will come back as a great reformer. Many of the people from the Spanish Inquisition have come back as great reformers. It is a thought worth thinking of. Remember, the middle way is the way in which to live. Do not be so bad that you have to suffer for it later. And if you are so pure, so holy, that everyone is beneath you, then you cannot stay on this earth. Fortunately, however, no one is that pure. End of lesson 19.